It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Right back to our phone lines. Colleen has been waiting patiently in Colville. Good morning, Colleen. What is your question?
Hi, we have an established lawn, but it's like really, really bumpy. And when you mow the lawn, it's hard. Is there any way to flatten that out and smooth it out without taking the lawn out?
Well, if it's that bumpy, you know, if it were larger areas that you had a gentle depression or something, it would be easier. But with the lawn, you know, having small bumps everywhere, it becomes a lot more difficult. Sometimes people will take a dethatcher and put it really low, and then they will dethatch to try to even out some of the taller hills, but there's nothing really easy that you can do. I've heard of people taking a little bit of sand, but you can't go into every little divot in the entire lawn and put a quarter inch of sand once a month. And so I don't know of a good way, because smashing the lawn with a roller or a steamroller or something isn't a good practice.
Would that kill the lawn doing that?
It would compact the soil and make the lawn more prone to diseases and insects and things and not grow as well. And I don't know that a water roller would do you a lot of good. I mean, if you irrigated very recently and then took the water roller out over the recently irrigated area, it may flatten it a bit, but I don't know if it would do a lot.
Okay, I guess we live with it.
Yeah, otherwise, you could try broadcasting something over the top like sand just a quarter inch at a time, but I'm afraid it would settle on the higher areas as much as the low, and it would just not improve anything.
Right, right. Okay, thank you.
All right, Colleen, thank you so much for listening and for calling this morning. Staying with the phone lines this morning, Sharon is in Orem, and good morning, Sharon. What is your question?
Good morning. It really is kind of like the previous caller's question. We have a bumpy lawn. It's just like walking on golf balls. And so we've just gotten frustrated with it and wondering if there was anything we could do. I tried some Revive, thinking that maybe that would soften the dirt. Would that do any good?
No, it wouldn't. Revive is designed to help water penetrate further into the soil. And so you can put some Revive down, and if your animals go to the bathroom on the lawn and you water after they go to the bathroom, it will help the lawn stay green. But it's not a product designed to help flatten out the lawn. You can try the dethatcher. You can rent those or get a dethatching blade for your mower and set it low and see if that helps. But over time, these lawns just will kind of develop this patchy, bumpy texture. And I just don't know of a good solution to get them to flatten out.
I see. Okay. I kind of had a feeling we might have had the same question. So I came up with a second one, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
We have noticed some black widows in our yard. And so I was just wondering, is it a good practice to try to take care of that yourself, or should you call a pest control?
Well, as long as you are careful and not inherently, you know, I don't know how you tell if you're allergic to black widows. I think everybody is, because they bite. They won't usually kill people, but they can create a lot of problems, you know, especially for a 24 to 48 hour period after you're bitten. And there are a lot of black widows out there this year, more than usual. My neighbor pulled his sprinkler box lid off, and I think he saw 7 of them in the sprinkler box.
That would terrify me.
And so that's where you go get a can of Raid and spray it in there and try to kill them all that way. But when you open that sprinkler box, I'll usually get a stick or something and beat it around a little bit and make sure there's nothing in there. And then I will wear a pair of gloves that they hopefully can't bite through when I'm working in there. But the perimeter of your house, the window wells, sprinkler boxes, I think you're justified in using an insecticide to knock them out.
Mm-hmm. So will they eventually migrate inside when it gets cold?
If your foundation isn't sealed up well, if there's cracks in the foundation, the windows aren't sealed well, yes, they can.
Okay. All right. We were just looking into a pest control company, and I just thought, wow, that's a bit pricey. So I thought, could we do it ourselves?
It is something you can definitely do yourself. It's just that you need to be a little cautious when you do it. But there, are a number of sprays that would probably be effective that you could get. Tempo, Bifin, or there's another one called 38 Plus. All of those would do the trick.
Okay. And they're safe around animals and young children.
Once it's dry, you don't want the kids rolling through, the grass where you sprayed or making huts in the window well. But once it's dry, it's safe for kids.
Okay. All right. Perfect. That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says that they dredge their pond and place the mud, clay, silt on the bank, and they're having trouble now growing anything. Is there a ground cover that will take full sun that will grow in that?
I wouldn't waste a lot of money until they got the soil tested.
Okay.
To make sure it doesn't have problems. And without knowing what kind of irrigation is available, there's nothing that will really get established there besides weeds that would grow. And so I really need more information.
Okay. Next listener wants to know, can you give them a good recommendation for a shade tree in a pasture with horses?
Not without a fence to keep the horses off the shade tree. The horses like to strip the bark off trees.
Oh.
And so they're going to have a fence far enough out around the tree to keep the horses from accessing it. And 100% of the time when I've seen people push trees near or in pastures with horses, that happens.
Ooh.
So with that being said, any number of trees would be fine.
Once they're established.
Yes.
Okay. Janet is in Sandy. Good morning, Janet. What is your question?
Good morning. You're probably sick of tree of paradise questions, but my neighbor just cut down a very large tree. And it seems like its whole root system has migrated to my yard. I've got shoots everywhere. So my question is, if I'm diligent and I just keep digging them out, will I kill the thing or do I need to paint each one with?
You need to paint each one with glyphosate. Concentrated Roundup. When you cut, paint it.
So there's like hundreds of them just coming up.
Yep.
And they're like 40 feet into my yard from where the tree was.
Yeah, it rooted under your lawn. And the tree, what we would normally tell people to do is to drill into the tree at about a 45 degree angle with a bit that's at least a third of an inch to a half inch wide. Go in inch and a half or so, and then you go around the perimeter of the tree every inch and a half, 2 inches, and pour just a little bit of concentrated Roundup in there and give it 6 or 8 weeks before you cut the tree down. And that will really help reduce those suckers. And what they've done is cut the top off and made the root system really, really angry.
Okay. Well, okay. So diligence won't help. I need to paint the thing.
No, diligence, if you are diligent, it might be 50 years down the road before you had much of an impact.
Oh.
So diligence mixed with an herbicide will be your solution.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Janet. I don't think Janet wanted to hear that answer.
No.
That was a really bad one. All right. Next listener wants to know, is it too late to plant pumpkins?
It is. You will not ripen a pumpkin. If you planted now, it would be into late November or December before the fruit ripens.
Even with all of the hot weather we've had.
Well, we've gone from 107.
A growing
and next
season,
week,
though, you know.
Yeah, we're scheduled to be in the low 70s, and it's just crazy how it switches so fast. But, yeah, there is too late for pumpkins this
year. How long is the growing season for a pumpkin?
pumpkins are generally planted in late May to mid-June, and the fruit starts to ripen, the pumpkins start to ripen in September.
Okay. Next listener wants to know, when's the last time they can spray their Red Delicious apples with malathion?
It depends on when they're going to harvest. And so malathion usually, I think, has a 7 to 10 day wait before you can harvest the fruit. And so if USU's Pest Lab is saying third generation of coddling moth is here, and that's within the harvest window, they're probably going to need to switch over to like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew or Triple Action that has a lot shorter pre-harvest interval.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with the final segment of the KSL Greenhouse Show. You can still text us your questions at 57500. We'll also try to squeeze in your phone calls, 801-575-8255.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the Greenhouse Show. Final segment. We will squeeze in as many calls and questions as we can. First one, Ton, should... This is Scott in Ogden. He wants to know if he should use a spray like Cutter or Roundup with secondary or house water, or does it even matter?
It doesn't matter as much. The Utah water in general is alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Roundup doesn't last very long in it. What will happen is the alkaline water will cause it to break down or become inert faster than what it would in more neutral water. And so sometimes people will put a couple of tablespoons of 2100 fertilizer, water-soluble ammonium sulfate, because the ammonium sulfate in there will drop the pH of the water a little bit and help maybe make it a little more effective. But if you mix up Roundup with house water and spray it within an hour or two, you're just fine.
All right. Terry is in Provo. Good morning, Terry. What is your question?
Good morning. Fortunately, this year I have a great tomato crop. I have a bunch of heirloom tomatoes, and they're full of fruit, but it's very small. It's ripening great, but I'm wondering, is it a good idea to take out the smaller fruit so the others can get larger, or am I just stuck with the size I get?
You may be just stuck with the size you get. Okay. Don't think that removing the other fruit would make the remaining fruit get larger.
Okay,
go around your neighborhood to your neighbors and knock on their doors and say, ha ha, I have tomatoes and you don't, and then just walk to the next one and do it again.
That's how I feel. I've got so many, and fortunately, I mean, quantity is as good as size, I guess, so I'll just have more of them.
All right, Terry, enjoy. Thank you. Next listener wants to know, how soon after planting grass seed do you put down fertilizer, starter fertilizer?
You can put it down with the grass seed. Otherwise, you have to let it germinate. And when you get most of the grass seed up, you can put it down then.
Okay, Gary is in Bountiful. Good morning, Gary. What's your question?
I have two green bushes that are about 6 feet tall that trim beautifully in the front of my garage. One of them this year has turned brown in the front. Looks like it's dead. And the rest of it's okay. I don't know if it's maybe the heat or if it needs some fertilizer or what it needs.
Are they needled evergreen or broadleaf?
Needled. They're very smooth. When you trim them, they look almost like they're not real.
They might be an arborvitae. So on the front of the bush, has it been pruned so much that there's not a good layer of green left, or do you have a good 5 or 6 inches of green on them?
No, it doesn't have that much green on it.
So they may have been trimmed to the point to where you're trimming into branches that won't grow back. On those evergreens, you need to have a good 4, 5, 6 inch layer of green growth on the outer portion to keep those healthy. And if you've trimmed to the point you've just got an inch or two that can cause them to decline. I mean, there's a possibility of spider mites in there that can sometimes do that, but trimming them for years and years to the exact same size will eventually kill them.
Okay. Could I ask you another quick question?
Gary, we have under a minute, so I'm not sure he'll be able to finish. So ask and we'll see.
Okay. I haven't done anything but put malonganite on my lawn because of the drought and the heat. Is it better to put some fertilizer on now or wait till spring?
Put it on. You can do fertilizer now, and that's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Gary, thanks so much for your call this morning, and thanks to everyone for listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show. We've enjoyed the show today. We've answered tons of questions. You can always go to if you missed the show this morning, you can always go to the Facebook page and check out our features, and you can also check us out on podcast as well. Ton, have a great weekend.
Have a great week.
All right. And again, you can also check out our YouTube videos, KSL Greenhouse Show on YouTube. And have a great week, and we'll be back with you next Saturday for the KSL Greenhouse Show.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.